I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do drugs. I play video games.
News and Lagoon with your hosts, John DeLuna, XB, X-Chicken, Weebum.
Damn right I am.
And Rob.
Here we go.
News and Lagoon.
Hey, everybody. It's your old friend, John DeLuna. This is News and Wave 102. It's not like 100 or 101, so, you know, we'll see you at 150 when these numbers actually mean something again. Hey, I will say this. Welcome to 2011. New Soundwave has a Twitter account. So it is at new_Soundwave. Don't forget the underscore. Very important. New Soundwave was taken, bastards. But new underscore Soundwave was not.
It must be a fan.
That's not going to cause brand confusion or anything.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
They must be a fan of the show. That's why they
don't worry about that. Yeah, if you're a real fan, you'll put the underscore in. So I'll tell you, if you follow us, all you got to do is follow us, and this kind of ties into our birthday contest, but all you have to do, follow us on Twitter at new_Soundwave, and next Friday, the 4th, we will randomly pick somebody, and we will give them 4,000 MS points. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. 4,000 Microsoft points. You can buy a lot of Guardian Heroes with that. Also, Daytona USA. You can buy Daytona USA on Xbox Live with those points. I highly recommend you do. So yes, follow us. new_Soundwave. Next Friday, you could win 4,000 MS points. Okay, guys. So to kick off the show real quick, Arkham City is most popular. Mucho popular. It has sold. Or it has shipped 4.6 million units in its first week. That's twice as many as Arkham Asylum. That is not, surprisingly, the best-selling or best-moving Batman game to date. Lego Batman, of all things, sold more than 7 million copies.
I think the real question is, how many pizzas did it sell?
That's also a good question. Because
Lego games are awesome.
Lego Batman was pretty fun. I played it.
Semantics. Lego, I really wish
it had the soundtrack from like the animated series instead of the first movie.
Everything needs a soundtrack from the animated series.
It really should. Well, just anything like everything needs Kevin Conroy. It is still my dream to like commission Kevin Conroy to record every line from Batman Begins and The Dark Knight. Oh. That's spoken by Batman and replace the stupid voice he does when he's Batman.
Yeah, it's just so dumb.
But wait, Kevin Conroy kind of started that whole Bruce Wayne hire Batman lore.
But there's still a difference between like cool, awesome Batman and
just because somebody else started doesn't mean that everybody else can do it correctly.
Yeah.
I mean, look at how Will Friedle did it in Batman Beyond.
I want a scene with like Batman and Commissioner Gordon and maybe somebody else who hangs up with Batman too much, who cares, watching a video of like a bank robbery that Batman was at and said something and just have him go, "Do I really sound like that?" Look at him like, yes, yeah, like, and then just change it a little bit. Should I tone that down a little? Just like go.
Yeah, it's kind of like getting jumped by Cookie Monster. It just doesn't work.
Me not wearing hockey pants.
Monster now.
V is for vengeance. That's good enough for me.
That's the re-reporting I want. Hell yeah. So real quickly, before we dive into Arkham City real quick, I see somebody has put in a most popular rumor into, or I guess it's kind of a running thing on the internet. So there's like miscommunication on whether or not Mark Hamill has retired as the Joker, but apparently he has come back and clarified that he would be open, quote unquote, to doing a third Arkham game. As far as animation and stuff goes, he hasn't said anything about that. But you know what?
Well, so he's cool unless they
paid to be a voice actor in the age that he's getting to in terms of retirement on a show. They only pay a little bit for those things. The reason actors do it is because it's like pure cream. You come in for an afternoon. He's probably getting to an age where he doesn't give a crap anymore. That's not going to be a significant part of his life. These video games, however, that are like selling a billion copies, What he probably means is I'll show up if they write a proportionate check to my contribution. And they should, frankly. He's
awesome. They should. They should. You know, they should.
He thought you know, Arkham Asylum was awesome, and the rumor that he didn't want to come back came from, he was like, man, I think I finished the Joker on a pretty high note here. Yes. I don't want to come back and be, you know, second fiddle Joker.
Well, and let's really think about this, too. I mean, there's a whole generation for whom Mark Hamill is the definitive Joker, and I don't think that's a wrong thing to think.
Yeah, and that generation is mostly the population of the Earth that's under 50.
Yeah, so we're really talking about almost two generations.
And sadly for them, that's only because the Joker is still Cesar Romero.
Well,
no offense to Mr. Nicholson.
Yeah, well, yes, because that sure was Jack Nicholson running around in a purple trench coat.
Yeah, well, not, yep. Like, you know, Jack Nicholson re-coolified the Joker. You know what I mean? Like,
he did. Cesar
Romero created a Joker that was as ridiculous as the show he was in, which was perfect. I mean, yes. Both of those performances are admirable for where they were at. But, you know, and the thing is, I think we'll always kind of. Heath Ledger's Joker is like the John Lennon Joker. You know, you will always hear the songs he never sung. Mm-hmm. But, you know, even that is largely a personification of the Mark Hamill Joker. He was doing a Mark Hamill Joker voice. You know, the only thing that really delineated the two from each other was, like, you can't murder hundreds of people in a cartoon. You know, like,
well, when they moved to the WB, they kind of tried.
Yeah, I'm certain some people.
They were a lot more open about what the Joker's activities.
Oh yeah, well, the regulations are so ambiguous. I mean, they used to talk about how in Mask of the Phantasm they were so thrilled that they were doing a movie because now when Batman fights, he can legally punch someone in the face, whereas before he actually just like couldn't punch people in the face,
which is crazy when you think about like okay, just for a quick tangent. Because this is a video game podcast, clearly, right? As you can tell.
First for a quick minutes. Tangent as opposed to the 20-minute tangent that we're on.
This is a fun tangent.
We found it.
Yeah, this is an awesome tangent. Okay, the Clone Wars cartoon is violent as hell.
Oh, my
Have
God.
Have you guys seen that? Oh, my
God. That tangent?
That is, well, I mean, like, in hindsight, okay, so we were fretting about Batman, you know, punching people, and broken glass was a big deal in the Batman cartoon.
But they used real bullets in the Batman cartoon as well.
Well, it's the cartoon, so CGI is in, like, some kind of legal limbo, to my understanding.
Yeah, like, well, it must be.
But a cartoon, like, no, of course it's not a cartoon. So until somebody, you know, litigate it.
They're like, oh, yeah, sure, you can blow this shark guy to bits right in front of everybody. It's not going to have any effect on any kids.
Well, and, you know, Clone Wars is populated by definition by clones, which I'm sure is another...
Yeah. It is. I'm sure it is a video game podcast. It's a video game podcast and all that implies, which is a lot.
Well,
which is a lot.
Brian, the voice of.
So I guess I get the voice of
on video games.
Well, this is a taste of classic new Soundwave.
It is. Okay, speaking of the game itself, Arkham City. I've played through.
Get the video game memo. I've been gone.
Yeah, you don't have to read it. okay, so I've played through story mode, and I know Peter has it, and I know Ender has played some of it. So I mean. We're like a week and a half in or so. Yeah. What are the thoughts? What are your thoughts now? We've had some time with it.
It's awesome. I mean, that's the easy answer. But it is on this trajectory, I think. That what I found really interesting about Arkham Asylum was, you know, talk about like a football game that makes like a little microcosm in which it can do something perfectly. And that's what makes those games interesting. Arkham Asylum was the Batman microcosm. We filled a building and, you know, a small island of buildings with everyone who hates him and, you know, like, and now we're going to play with that as much as we possibly can. This has expanded it. The entire idea of Arkham City being like, what is Arkham City? It's somewhere between Arkham Island and Gotham City. And if you think about it, the ultimate expression of this, if it continues on the trajectory it's on, which I really hope is kind of where they're going, and it's probably on a next-generation console just for the sheer size of what this would mean, is here is Gotham City and its outskirts, you know, including, you know, at least as far as Wayne Manor is out from it. The plot of this game is, when you were a child, your parents were murdered. You're Batman.
I'm down with that.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
Yeah,
that's acceptable. I will say this. I'll just say no spoilers for because I know people have plenty to go probably in this game. But Batman's a real dick in this one.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna say that.
Yeah.
He's a real asshole, and he's got really weird like ethics in this one. I'm just gonna put it at that. But yes,
like especially. I haven't had a chance to play too much since we last talked, but especially when he talks to Freeze, he's like, oh, let me yank your soul and your life out of you for a second just to tease you a little bit so you'll tell me what I want to know.
Yeah.
And then
really
he just kind of like, yeah, he's a real jerk.
Yeah, he's a dick. He's a dick. Yeah. I will say, go ahead.
Skype.
It is not a good dick. I mean, he has said, though, that it's not a good day to mess with him. So they keep
clearly,
you know what I mean?
Clearly not. It's a bad night. Anyway, yes, he's high on the jerk factor.
Hello? Anyone hear me?
Oh, yeah. You're here, Andrew. I can hear you.
I'm sorry. Okay. I got cut off, and I wasn't sure. I couldn't hear people, and that was weird. I was thinking, the next game's villain will clearly be Skype.
Yes, it will be. It'll be Skype.
I don't know what I got. Nice. But my point being that I thought what was cool about this was that it's on this trajectory to become a... Here, have Gotham City to go play in game. Where Batman.
Yeah, a real open world game. This one's getting.
And even if you're really open into it could start on like day one of him going out in a bat suit. And they could just update that.
Yeah, like, I mean, I hate the idea of prequels.
I hate the idea of that, but like in some ways.
But sure.
Screw prequel to this quote. I mean, like, it could be a different continuity. It doesn't matter. The idea is just the engine of being able to say, okay. You're a billionaire who lives in a mansion who dresses up in a bat and beats the crap out of people who are committing crimes. And that's
sounds
the whole
good.
Of the game. And we'll add stuff in as it comes and goes.
Sure. Sounds good. Sounds good. It's almost like kind of a pseudo MMO type thing.
Well, exactly. It's
open like, world, like, GTA. Yeah. I got you.
Vast expression of the pure idea of like being Batman.
Yes. Yes. Hey, guys. It was a bad day to cross Batman. It's been a bad year to be Nintendo. Nintendo lost. Are expected to top $1 billion. Mamma mia. We'll get the results Thursday. Just real quick. It's just a quick hit. I'm sure with the Wii U, I would hope with the Wii U, they will recover.
You know, Wii U and Batman linking, I bought the Arkham City app for the iPad.
Oh, right. Okay, nice.
This is the technology simulation of what it's going to be have a Wii U. It's great. It's fantastic to sit there with this thing because it really utilizes the iPad properly. So you've got, like, it's just really for the Riddler trophies and such.
Okay.
That's really all it's for. But
well, since there's a 1,000 Riddler trophies, that sounds good.
You sit there with this thing, and it's got, like, the sections of the map on the bottom. And you can scroll through them with your finger, like, you know, like it's a proper app. It actually is made to work with the thing. You get that section of the map. You can zoom in and zoom out by, you know, pinching it. You pick the things. It gives you a pretty picture of where it's at and a pretty reasonable description of how to get it. And then it has a little check it off feature where you can be like, I've got this one.
Oh, that's
cool. Now, that's kind of the best part.
Yes.
Because, you know, even if you've got the guide, you're looking at this thing, it's still got in, like, you know, the most minuscule portion of it that it has, what, 6-inch by 6-inch picture with like 60 little question marks in it. But great,
yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, it's no good. It's no good, especially because did I get number 173? Let me go check. And like 10 minutes later, damn, I did.
You're looking at the 1-inch picture of it, going like, wow, that looks so much like all the other ones by the gates.
Yes. It's in a dark, dirty corner of Gotham. Okay.
Wait.
It kind of sounds like another feature that's going to suffer if you do not have a high definition display. Honestly.
I could see parts of Arkham City probably being a pain if you're not in HD. It's a dark game. It's a dark game for one thing.
This has been like my favorite part of playing this one. I set up a playroom in the basement for my kids, and not wanting to break a TV, I put a projector on the ceiling So when I play Arkham City, even though the resolution's not as good as my nice TV upstairs, Batman is roughly life-sized.
Oh.
And nice. In a game where you spend out kind over vistas every 3 seconds, that vista actually takes up 70 to 80% of my field of vision. That makes...
You don't like a life-size E-Honda? Just like waddling
around. God. Fighting and oh, that would be... Oh, that would be awesome.
That'd be awesome. Okay.
So, hey, Nintendo's going bankrupt?
So, yeah, Nintendo's going bankrupt.
Nintendo's not going bankrupt.
They're not going bankrupt, but they are going
to
lose.
My point about Nintendo being that the Wii U thing, in terms of how it relates to what I was doing, where I have a map on the thing in front of me, and I'm playing a game up there, and it has a functionality, I was really enjoying that.
Okay, so
there is something to the notion.
Of an applet-y thing in your hand. I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. Okay, so GTA 5 has been announced. Woot. We're going to get a trailer on November 2nd.
What kind of an announcement is that? It's like, where the hell have you been?
Yeah, it's kind of like, I think it's like, it's here, it's real. Yeah, they're real, they're spectacular.
Had other stuff to do, really?
And let's see here. They've got big shoes to fill. The last game sold, let's see, it sold in the tens of millions of units. They expect number 5 to sell at least 18 million units. So high hopes for Rockstar. Yeah, but it's GTA, man.
Yeah, and it was one of the first games that actually released on Xbox and PS3 simultaneously, right?
Was it? GTA 4. Oh, yeah. I should also say, it looks like based on voice casting, because people do look into this stuff, that the game will probably take place in San Andreas. Again. Another quick note. Ice Cream Sandwich. another in the long line of well-named Android OSs can interact with USB gamepads. Why? We don't know. Maybe we'll find out.
I tested this. I bought a box of ice cream sandwiches and tried my USB gamepad, but they didn't do anything.
Well, my thing is that, my Android dies like that. So, I have this vision that as soon as I, connect a, gamepad to my Android, it would just, instantly die.
Well, it's because you have WiMAX running nonstop on your phone.
I don't have WiMAX running on it. No. You don't have to have that running to make it die. It'll die very well on its own.
So at that point,
if you plug a gamepad into it, you'd pretty much have to have it plugged into a wall, at which point, why aren't you playing on a console?
My Android, I basically have to have it plugged in all the time anyway. But I'd probably kill the battery by having it plugged in all the time.
That might be
something to that.
Maybe you should cycle the battery once in a while. That'll help a little
bit. Yeah.
But I think, I never really understood the concept of people watching Netflix or and stuff like that on their phone, or even streaming Pandora and stuff, because your phone is going to drain its battery.
I use Pandora at work when I can have it plugged in while I'm listening to it.
Yeah,
so,
but you wouldn't do that because if you were using it not unplugged in and it was in your pocket, your phone would be on fire.
Oh, yeah, it would die. In fact, my phone is dead now.
It'd be awesome if it was charging now at the same time.
Yeah.
It's charging and also dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those sweet dulcet tones.
You're able to power that phone faster than it can be fed into it.
Yeah.
I remember the days of the radio. First iPhone.
I had the phone with the radio on, with my headset in, and was told by my employer that I was bothering other people with the radio, even though it was just playing into my ear.
Oh, Ender, you don't even need a radio.
This was 10 years ago. Don't get me wrong. This is
people don't understand the concept.
Time.
People didn't understand the concept of smaller radios. That's the issue. They were thing that's not a boombox? This is bizarre. This guy's crazy.
He's listening to the radio. It's bothering me. He's having a better
so,
time.
You heard JD, the sweet dulcet tones of JD chime in here. JD.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
You're going to wrap up LizCon for Ooh. Us. Major so, goings on with World of Warcraft and StarCraft 2.
Yeah, oddly enough, I mean, of course, BlizzCon is the big annual Blizzard event. A lot of people are really anticipating Diablo 3, and I think there was like very little, if anything, out of Diablo 3. They basically said, yep, we're making it. Yep, it's going to be cool. And not going to really tell you when it's going to be out. So
yes,
have fun with
copyrighted
that.
This, and we would like your money.
It's in beta. I mean, it isn't beta right now, and I think they're slowly moving towards open beta. So I would expect it'll be out soon-ish. But the other two things, they'd already announced for StarCraft II, the expansion Heart of the Swarm. We got a little bit more news and information out of that. I mean, we kind of knew all the stuff about the single player, that it's mostly focusing on Kerrigan, who is now separated from the Zerg. Who cares about that? What's really interesting is
Nancy
the multiplayer
Kerrigan.
Aspect. Yeah, not Nancy Kerrigan.
I just can't help but laugh and thinking about, like, wow, you're, like, referencing things I remember from when I was 13.
Oh, yeah. It's all about the action, man. Yeah.
Here we go, man.
It's like so that plot line is still wow.
It's out of the new units, some of the things that have been announced. The thing that kind of annoys me is that there's three new units announced for Terran, three new units announced for Protoss, and two new units announced for Zerg, even though this is supposed to be a Zerg-centric expansion.
Not really.
Not really, yeah. Even though they have said repeatedly that Terran is pretty much well set, they announced three really awesome new units. A Battle Hellion, which is basically an alternate... It's basically a transforming vehicle. It's yet another transformer for the Terrans.
Can you say that word on this podcast?
Yeah.
You just
They also have a unit called the Shredder, which is sort of like... It sort of like sets up a radiation
that
field.
That sounds like it should be on another podcast.
Which... Yes. And then the Warhound... Which is a, it's sort of like a scaled down version of a Thor that's meant to be a little more battle friendly. The Protoss are getting a Tempest, which is a very badass, basically, it's mainly meant as an anti aircraft because Protoss doesn't really have anything for that right now.
When the Protoss seemed cool.
They're trying to make them cool again, they need a lot of help. The Oracle, which is yet another air vehicle, and then the Replicant, which would allow basically it allows them to replicate other units on the field,
like
and
Replicants and Transformers and Thor. This should be in like four or five other podcasts.
The Zerg,
does anyone have a TARDIS? I'm just wondering.
Nancy Kerrigan.
Man. The Zerg are getting what's called a Swarm Host, which is basically an artillery type unit. And then the Viper, which it sort of fills more of a caster role for the Zerg. So some interesting balancing things. They're really trying to help. There's not a lot of Protoss players right now, so they're really trying to help Protoss out a little bit and give Zerg some map control options. So that's exciting stuff. But on to the really big-ish news, which is the next expansion for World of Warcraft, which is Mists of Pandaria.
I wanted to ask you about this.
Yes. So this is the next named expansion. Basically, it's a new continent in the same world. The storyline is supposed to be it's untouched. Basically, it's Kung Fu Panda. The Pandaren...
They could not have ripped off anything better. I mean,
no, but the Pandaren have been in the game for quite a while. They've been around at least since Warcraft 2. So it's not a new element in that sense, but definitely this new continent is based off of China and Chinese lore. So they're adding the new race, which is the Pandaren. They'll be able to be both Horde and Alliance. They also get a new class, which is the Monk class, which is basically a hand-to-hand combat class. They basically seem like a hybrid class. They'll have different role options between tank, healer, and melee combat.
Sounds like it'd be an excuse to be a gnome and do my Dustin Hoffman impression.
So, but they have a lot of nice racial ability.
Take that noob.
In particular, that are starting out. the Pandaren get basically they get more rested XP. They get reduced falling damage. They get buffs from cooking. So there's a lot of things that would work well to a solo player or a passive gamer in that respect.
Does anyone else just keep hearing the word pandering?
Right.
Well,
I'm just saying.
So there's also some big changes coming in particular to the talent system. This is a completely new talent system. Before, basically, you would get a talent point per level, and it was like a separate spec line. It was very complicated. It lent to very cookie-cutter specs. Now they've changed it to where basically you get the choice between three different talents every 15 levels because the new level cap is 90. And it seems like a really interesting system. So I have to say, when it was first announced, and it was like, okay, it's pandas. Okay, this sounds like a lot of the same stuff. If you go to Wowhead, they actually have a site set up with all the news and information for Mists of Pandaria. Really interesting stuff. I have to say, after I read through all the information, I'm much more interested in this expansion than I was just on the surface. So I'm kind of interested. I don't know if I really want to reactivate or not, but there are some nice things that will be in there for, in particular for casual gamers, which I think is a market that WoW has tended to have lost over time. But
yeah,
of course,
it sounds like it. Yeah. And it's just like a function of time, right? Because you address the needs and the wants of hardcore gamers, and then over time you kind of lose touch with new gamers and casual gamers. So yeah, you got to go back
90 levels to get through. So yeah.
So all right, cool. Thank you, JD. Thank you, JD. Hey again. If you want to win 4,000 MS points, all you got to do is follow us on Twitter. We have a new show Twitter account. It is @new_soundwave, @new_soundwave. Just follow us next Friday. The 4th, we will announce the winner of 4,000 MS points. When we come back, we'll talk about new releases, and then, in honor of Halloween, scary video games. This is New Soundwave.
Magneto has arrived, only in X-Men 2 for Sega Genesis. Now, two can play the most mutant heroes, and Magneto. Marvel's X-Men 2 for Sega Genesis. Hardware and game cartridge, each sold separately.
So many dead.
They died fighting for freedom and justice.
The reign of the Manhunters begins now.
Rise of the Manhunters, rated E10-T. Emerald Knights on Blu-ray now, and see the film in theaters now.
Had you ever considered that all this is your fault? Your presence creates these animals.
Heads or tails, kitty cat.
Shame to get blood all over my nice new outfit. This place is dangerous. I like it.
all a lie. There's nothing wrong with you.
Nice of you to say, but you of all people should know there's plenty wrong with me.
New Soundwave.
Okay, we're back. Today, new releases this week. Battlefield 3, which is a big one. Gonna be a big one. Kirby's Dream Land, Return to Dream Land. By the way, what happened to the one from last year, Kirby's Yarn or whatever?
Kirby's Yarn. It was accepted poorly, wasn't it? It wasn't really good.
It looked cool. It looked really cool. Dragon Ball Z Ultimate Tenkaichi is out. XV asked, didn't they do this game? They did 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Dance Central 2 for Kinect.
All they do is change the nonsense words on the other end of the title.
I will say this one gets bonus points because there's only like 10 characters in it instead of like a billion from the last few Dragon Ball Z games.
Also, the removal of content is actually a point in their favor.
It is. Think about it.
I'm not disputing that. It's just a point.
Oh, I know.
What does that say?
The less of this game there is, the better it gets.
The better. It's like a riddle. It's a riddle wrapped in a burrito. Dance Central 2 for the Kinect. Kinect Sports Season 2. And probably the best release of the week, Daytona USA for PSN and Xbox Live. Awesome. An HD remastered version.
World's game today. That was pretty good.
The what now, Ender?
It's like there's a download on the Xbox Live arcade War of the Worlds game.
Oh yeah, did it get pretty well received?
It's voiced fairly constantly by Sir Patrick Stewart.
Ah, okay.
Which really kind of makes it in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it makes it much more respectful experience.
Oh, I was just gonna say it makes it almost as sad as American Dad then that way. He does do that show.
Yeah. Hey, I saw on Twitter he had dinner with Brent Spiner last night. How about that? That's why my Twitter exists. I don't know. Brent Spiner tweeted.
I'm sorry.
Patrick Stewart have a Twitter?
If not, he can get one so I can
follow. I don't think so.
These are the hard questions. Okay, so topic for the week, scary video games. It is Halloween. We've had good ones, Resident Evil, Silent Hill. We've had Night Trap. So, guys, what are some of your favorite scariest games of now and past?
I know Doom 2 always scared the crap out of me. I would play that like with the lights out and freak myself out.
Doom 1?
I hate to be all generic-y about it, but a lot of Resident Evil, especially once they started to get to things like even like the GameCube where the lighting effects were better, for some reason, like the lighting effect thing like started to follow me back into life. So like in a room where like, light was streaming in through a window, if like something touched the back of my, neck or something, or something, just like.
So basically, in your head, the ring except with lights.
No, it was just like just enough to be like, ah, like, okay, no, everything's fine now. Like, I didn't mean to shriek like a little girl there.
Being scared by Resident Evil is totally legit.
It's just dusk.
It's totally legit. The first time, I remember on the PSX, I'll call it that, when the dogs jump out at you in the first Resident Evil, scared the crap out of me. The dogs are made out of like 5 polygons, but back then, scared.
You're scared the crap out of me in a Resident Evil game on PSX, as we get to call it now.
Think if some 5 polygon thing jumped out of a wall at you in real life, that would be terrifying.
Oh my god! Well, actually, I have a bad polygon story to go with this, but I particularly creepy moment in a game that's actually like, oh my god, I'm terrified now. Is like, I've played Resident Evil 1. I'm playing Resident Evil 2. You're in the middle of Resident Evil 2, and they're showing you this cinematic, and it's going back and forth in this situation between like the little girl and the main characters. And then like the game starts again, and it doesn't go back to the main characters with the bazookas. It stays with the little girl. And you're just like, okay, now I'm the little girl in the zombie-infested sewer?
Wait, isn't this...
That's the quarter of the night, by the way.
Wait, is this 4 or are you talking about 1?
This is 2. Because it's cutting back and forth. And Norm, it's done this a few times with the little girl already. You know, it seems like nothing, but then, like, the camera stays, and you're like, okay, now go back to the people with the guns. Crap!
Awesome.
I'm in the sewer, and I'm the little girl.
Did anybody play the Silent Hill games? I played a couple of those. They were okay.
Can I just tell the pixelation story? It's embarrassing.
Yes, please do. Jump over.
I worked at a Game Crazy for a few years, and they had those little demo stations that stood about, you know, like face high. Well, at least for me, I'm short. And I was playing the really bad first-person Resident Evil game just for the hell, because we had a copy, and it was like, oh, I'll see what this looks like. And it was really bad. I was hardly paying attention, but that kind of, you know, became my failing. I was talking to somebody, and I'm looking, you know, just doing something in the game, and I turn around, and it's horribly pixelated. I mean, like, we're talking like 1-inch pixels on the screen at the angle I'm at. I've, like, walked into a wall, right? But it's moving around a little funny. So I lean in. This is like, what the hell is that? And then it readjusts, and it's a zombie. I'm like, ah.
I like how that's like a really geeky ghost story for the campfire.
As I jump back to the screen like an idiot.
I looked at the polygon and then I looked really close and it was a zombie. That's awesome.
And
the hook was still on the heavily pixelated
really
door.
Pixelated zombie.
And you know, the thing that makes it even more of a geeky ghost story is that he's telling it while we're all surrounded by the glow monitor.
Yes.
It's a campfire, you know.
Very true.
Geek campfire.
Very true. I can only hope the campfire that we're huddled around is just a recolored cloud sprite. It just happens to be orange. That would
actually
be awesome.
Scared playing Resident Evil Survivor.
It is possible, I guess, right? It is not impossible. And you know, it's kind of a shame that when you think about it, so the first few Resident Evil games were really scary. Now they're kind of just run and shoot, super actiony, probably kind of racist. Hello, Resident Evil 5. You know, just run and gun, black people.
Right.
Yes.
Are they zombies? Cares.
But yeah, no. I mean, they seem like, you know, somewhat agitated villagers. Sure. Okay.
Yeah, they're like, it's not even like the virus, right? They're just some sort of. Spell.
It's like a super virus. It's like a version of the virus.
Actually,
I'm, oh, or a Boros.
Tigers. I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you guys about my my extremely scary how I attempted to play the original Resident Evil, and then I, you know, didn't kill a zombie, and I ran out of bullets, and I ran away, and then I avoided that zombie for the rest of the game. Just
did
one
you come
corridor.
Back?
No.
Come back for him?
No, oh. I didn't. I went back and I was like, oh, he's probably dead. And then he pops out from the door and I was like, oh, crap, I'm leaving. So I ran away.
That's awesome.
And for the rest of the game, I knew exactly where he was. So actually, if I needed to go close to, like say, upstairs, those steps up above there, I actually went around the entire mansion just so I could avoid him.
Oh, nice.
I'm picturing Pee-wee's Big Adventure, the fire in the pet shop where, you know, he's running around getting all the animals out, and he keeps going back and looking at those snakes.
Yeah.
Pee-wee's Big Adventure, the undead in Pee-wee's Big Adventure scared the piss out
of
me.
Yes. Now, that's a good one. That trucker.
I saw that in the movie theater. I had to leave the theater for a few minutes. My mom had to, like, take me out and calm me down outside.
I think there's no better way to end the show than on that note. And the moral of the story is what? Large Marge? Fucking scary.
Yeah.
Large. That is New Soundwave 102. Hey guys, thanks for listening. Once again, we have a Twitter account. We are a real show now because we have a Twitter account. Follow us on @new_soundwave. @new_soundwave. Next Friday, we will give away 5,000 Microsoft points to one of our followers randomly. You could be that winner. Until next
tech show with a Twitter account.
It is.
Next week could be almost caught up with reality.
Yes. Maybe next year we'll get on Facebook. No promises. No promises. Okay, so that is New Soundwave 102. We'll see you next week. Follow us on Twitter and
don't forget to check our MySpace.
Yeah.
and our Friendster page. Friendster page.
Of course we do.
I love it when I make fun of things, and then it's true.
Whoops.
Yeah.
All those sound clips and you don't have a drum riff.
Give it time. Give it time.
Well, I'm done. End the show.
2-1-0. Game over.
Mother. You're alive.
Too bad, you.
This has been New Soundwave. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Check out all our videos at tfvideo.net. New Soundwave is a Radio Free Cybertron production.